coming at us. And that's what I'm saying is as we begin to dig, contention and the enemy is going to come at us. We saw that in the Word of God. But we just keep digging and we keep digging. We reopen the wells of salvation, and with joy we will draw water out of those wells and God will begin to move. But I want to say that even in the midst of that, if we allow God to change our perspective, this is the important part, church. We have to let Him change our perspective. We live in a very negative society. They want to point out what's wrong all the time. And so it's up to us as the people of God to see what's right, to understand what's right. That's what the word righteousness means, is that He has made us in right standing with God, and therefore now we can see, we notice, we understand what is right. Not just what we think is right in our society, but what God declares as right, righteous, and holy. And those are the things that we need to focus on. And so I just want to say this before we dive into this message, and that's part of this message. But I want to celebrate this morning that this past Wednesday, me and my wife celebrated 20 years of marriage. I want to celebrate that this morning. Because that's righteous and that's holy. And sometimes we come to things, we come to the church and we hear prayer requests and we hear people going through hardships, and we have to do that. We have to talk about those things. We have to bring them about. But you'll go to, I don't know about you, but I'll go to a conference and I'll hear the statistics and they're always negative about how many people are getting a divorce. I understand divorce happens, and I know that as a church we have to minister to people and walk with people through those things, and it's a terrible thing, but let's not forget the goodness of God. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not an easy person to live with. It is by the grace of God that Alicia has made it 20 years with me. So I celebrate the goodness of God. And then I celebrate when God heals people from divorce. Let's talk about that. Right? Let's talk about how God redeems the hurts from the past and brings people together. Or even when we lose spouses through death and they pass away, and God works things out and brings people together in union, and we have someone to love. Let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate God's healing work. Let's not just talk about those who need the healing, but let's celebrate God's healing work and what He's done and how He's moving and delivering. Let's talk about the people that are being set free right now. Let's not just talk about the people who need delivered, right? Come on, church, are you with me this morning? Let's celebrate the work of God and let's focus on what He's doing. Let's celebrate the fact that in Cary, Ohio, we have people who only speak Spanish that have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ every Sunday at 3:00. Only God can do that. Right? Let's celebrate that both Hispanics and English people were able to come together last Sunday, hang out, play volleyball and cornhole together. And even though there was a language barrier, we were able to fellowship with love together and hang out together. And we worked through the differences. We got to stop focusing on the differences and see what God is doing. That's what I'm saying this morning. Let's celebrate those things. I think that's amazing. And sometimes we get so focused on the negative, and guess what happens? That is the enemy's ploy. That is the enemy's ploy. See, too many times we think that all the enemy wants to do is just to deceive us. But this is a tactic he figured out a long time ago. Before he can ever deceive us, he's got to first distract us. And if he can get us distracted, then he can begin to sow seeds of deception. But he first must distract us. And if he can play his little parlor tricks and get us looking in the opposite direction and in the way he wants us to look, the way he wants us to see it, then he can begin to manipulate our thinking and deceive us and sow seeds of doubt and lies to us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we are beginning to understand the deception and the distraction of the enemy. And when we get distracted and deceived, then we get discouraged. And guess what we do? We stop digging. We stop digging. We stop working. We stop sowing. We stop planting. We stop because we're discouraged. And what God is doing in our midst right now, church, is he is bringing encouragement and refreshment by the flow of his Holy Spirit. We've been talking in a way that the symbolic way of water and the flow of water. And he's refreshing us. I told you that last week too. It was going to be a day of breakthrough and refreshment. And we are seeing the evidence of that. He's still refreshing us this week. More and more breakthrough is happening. It's going to continue to happen. But there is something else we have to do as God begins to work this way. And so I want you to join with me in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, chapter 10 and verse 12. And this morning I'm going to preach a message to you called Break Up the Fallow Ground. Break up the fallow ground. We're going to talk about dirt some more. And sometimes we don't realize how important dirt is. Do you know that we're made from dirt? Dirt can be pretty important. You farmers know that already, but some of us that don't farm all the time, we take dirt for granted. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about dirt. We talked about it last week in digging and getting it, the overburden removed. But we're going to talk a little bit more about dirt this morning. So we're going to talk about breaking up the fallow ground. And here in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, I'm going to try to be pointed this morning and take you right where the Holy Spirit wants us to go. And the Bible says this, sow for yourselves righteousness. There's that word again. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, let me just highlight a few things in this. The prophet speaks to the people of God and he says, sow for yourself righteousness. And then there's a pause there. And then he says, reap steadfast love. What is the word of God proclaiming to his people here? He's saying this, it's conditional. We want to reap the steadfast love. God is love. That's who he is, right? God loves everybody. God loves everybody unconditionally. All of that is true. But do you realize that there is a condition for you to receive that love? See, we've missed this in our generation, in our society. We have grasped the concept that God is love. We've understood that God loves us and meets people right where they are. But what we've missed is the condition for us to be able to respond and receive that love. We think that if we come to a church service like we've been having this morning, the presence of God is moving in a very distinct way, in a powerful way, and we're experiencing that, and it's being revealed through our emotions because we feel something in the midst of it. Sometimes people get very joyous and happy. Sometimes people begin to weep and cry, tears of joy. They're emotional. They're experiencing God. God is touching their soul, and we think that that's what it's all about. And so we think that because we experience God's love in that moment, that all is good. God is good and God is love and He cares for us. But here's the problem. God does something, He initiates something in an experience, in a moment. But we have not taught people how to walk into that experience and begin to live it out. And here he's saying, the prophet is telling us in this commandment, he's saying there's something you have to do first to be able to reap God's steadfast love. What is that thing? You have to sow to yourself righteousness. I can't keep planting ungodly seeds in my life and think I'm going to reap from God His steadfast love. Although it's there, it's present, it's available, I can't get it because I haven't planted righteous seeds to receive the steadfast love. So therefore, what I have planted, I will reap. See, this is a very simple principle that even works all around the world, in the natural world. I can't plant apple seeds and expect to get a pear tree. I can't plant peach seeds and think I'm going to get an apple tree. It doesn't work that way. Whatever I plant in the ground, that's what I'm going to reap. We have corn growing beside us here. And I guarantee you that Mr. Broadman, when he began to drill that in, because I don't believe that he actually plowed it. I think he just drilled it this year. He's put it in the ground. I don't think for a minute that he thought he was going to get soybeans this year. Not for 1 minute did he think, I think I'm going to harvest soybeans this year. I don't have any soybeans to plant. I only have corn to plant, but I'm going to harvest soybeans this year. Now, I don't know where the money is right now. I don't know where the level is. I don't know if you get more out of beans right now than you do corn. So maybe that's why he changed his mind. I don't know. But whatever he planted in the ground, that's what he's going to get. So God is saying to us a very simple principle that we can see in the earth. That whatever we plant in our hearts, that's what we're going to reap. So if we want to reap the steadfast love of God, then we have to sow in our hearts seeds of righteousness. Godly things. So he says this then. Break up your fallow ground. This is key. For it is the time to seek the Lord, that He may come and rain righteousness upon you. Now let's go to the prophet Jeremiah. I don't want to get too far in expounding on that. I got to stay on point. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 3 says this. Same word of God coming from another prophet out of the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses. Let every word be established. He says this. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So now he's not only talking about what we sow to ourselves, but he's also talking about the condition of the dirt when we sow it. Did you catch that? Break up the fallow ground and sow not among thorns. If there's already something growing there, it becomes difficult for the seed that you planted to come forth and actually bring forth fruit to grow into a plant because there's already something growing there. So let's first of all dive into what this fallow ground means, because not all of us understand that. So fallow ground refers to land that has been plowed and tilled but left unseeded for one or more growing seasons. This practice is common in agriculture to allow the soil to recover its nutrients, improve its structure, and reduce the buildup of pests and weeds. In biblical times, fallowing was an essential part of sustainable farming, ensuring that the land remained productive over the long term. So, there's two things at play going on here. There's fallow ground, but then there's also some stuff that's happening to the fallow ground because it's been left unseeded. Now, here's the key that you have to get. It is not wrong to have a season of fallow ground in your life. Sometimes we don't grasp that because we live in a society that thinks we have to be productive in every area of our life. It has to be producing something. And if it's not producing something, then it's bad. That's not true. There's seasons of rest. Rest is healthy. If we don't have rest, then we become unhealthy. The reason that the concept of the year of Jubilee was established by God himself is because he understood rest. The reason that he had us on the seventh day to rest and had a Sabbath day is because he understood rest. He understood the importance of rest. And so he would tell them that every week we're going to have a day of rest where you can relax and be refreshed. But every seventh year we're going to have a year where we relax everything. You're not going to sow seed in the ground. You're going to reap what was already sown previously. You're going to be able to let the soil rest. That means this, that there are areas in your life that when you follow the leading of the Spirit, you will do nothing with it. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm being unproductive there. I got to do something there. I got to make this happen. I got to go, 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 go. That is not kingdom culture. That's American culture. But we apply our American culture to the kingdom of God. And if we get things out of order and we keep trying to plant in an area that God's saying, hey, let it go. Guess what? We're not going to produce as much. So not only do we have to sow righteousness to ourselves, but we have to sow it where God wants us to sow it. Yeah, but 20 years ago, God told me to do this specific thing every day of my life. Are you sure he said every day of your life, or was it for a season? And the reason that that thing that you do today is not fruitful like it was 20 years ago is because you haven't asked God for another word of direction. You just think he knows, you just think you know what he wants you to do. God shifts direction sometimes. Why? Because there's areas of your life that needs rest. We don't understand rest. We work 7 days a week. We are so guilty of not understanding how to rest that even when we go on vacation, we have days off, we are finding work to do. I have a friend of mine that just recently went on a little getaway vacation. He told me, hey, I'm gonna be getting away and everything. I'm like, oh, cool. The first day that he's on vacation, he's texting me and emailing me, and I'm thinking, bro, you're doing business, and I thought you were on vacation. He's like, I'm working on this website. I'm like, on vacation? We don't know how to stop. And we wonder why we have our mind reeling all the time. And we're so anxious in our society. Because we think something has to be producing in our life all the time. Go, 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 go. Well, I don't have anything to do. Our kids, no offense, young people, but you don't know how to be bored. You just don't know how to do it. And here's the truth. We get on you guys all the time, but neither do we as adults. We don't know how to be bored either. We're always finding something to do. And there are areas of our lives that we're supposed to leave settled. Everybody say settled. If something is settled in our life, it's okay to leave it for a while. It's settled. There's another area, there's another thing that God wants to work on. But maybe there's something in your life that's settled. And because so many years it wasn't settled, you have only known how to live in chaos. And so what you do and what I do is we keep stirring up that area of our lives, stirring up the dust, cultivating the dust, working the ground, trying to get seeds in it, because we think, well, this is so important because, you know, for a long time I struggled with this. And God's saying, yes, but you've been set free and you have reaped seeds of righteousness from that area of your life. I need you to concentrate over here now and leave that go. What is God saying through the prophet? He's saying that there's land or there's areas of our lives that are fallow, meaning seedless. But because of our understanding, we're so focused on the thing that has reaped us a harvest, we think we got to keep planting there. We got to keep sowing there. We got to keep working there. And God, by the prophet, is getting our attention and saying, hey, I'm redirecting your attention and I need you to look at this right here. This is fallow ground. It's seedless. It's not doing anything in your life. And because you've been so focused and so go, trying to do this over here, that while you were producing over here, all of a sudden something started happening over there that's not good. And little by little and slowly come along things that are being planted in our life because we got distracted by this thing over here. We thought this was so important. God's saying, no, I need you to let that rest and come break up the fallow ground, because that isn't producing what it needs to produce in your life anymore, because it needs to settle so that the nutrients can begin to grow in that soil again. And you have good soil over here that you haven't touched, that you haven't dealt with, because guess what? There's some thorns growing over there. And you thought you were too busy to deal with it. Let me read this to you, and then I got another illustration I want to show you this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to read all of this parable. We're going to dive into it more Wednesday, and even some practical things, but I got to lay the foundation for your week here. This is building upon last week. That's what God does. He builds upon it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here, there, little there, right? Verse 3, starting in Matthew 13, verse 3, it says this. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. Everybody say path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground. Everybody say rocky ground. Where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns. Everybody say thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked them out. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. See, here's the thing that we have to understand, connecting this with the fallow ground, that there are three conditions that we deal with in the parable of the sower when it comes to the dirt. The first one is hardness or rockiness. they're the same thing. They come together. The second one is weeds and thorns or thistles. And the third one is good soil. Those are the three things that we deal with when it comes to the condition of the soil. What is he talking about? He's talking about the condition of our heart. And as the word of God is sown, some people's heart has grown so hardened towards the things of God that the seed can only lay on the top of it. And then anyone or anything can come and just swipe it away and take it away because it doesn't penetrate. But before you ever get there, as your heart is hardening, it's the rocky soil. So it's the same thing. You might get a seed planted there, but there's no depth to the soil because of the hardness of the heart, and it will take root. But as soon as any kind of heat comes, soon as anything turns up the heat, the plant gets scorched and is withered, and there's no fruitfulness of that. You see, any good farmer will tell you that while there's lots of good soil that you can just drill in, there is some soil that for it to be able to work again because it's become so hard, is you have to begin to break it up and plow it up and cultivate that soil before you can ever get seed to grow in it. So the hardness and rockiness sometimes of life is what's happened is we focus on one area of our life. We're trying to get that good. We're trying to get that good and we're doing it. But God's ready to move us forward in our life so that we can keep growing in Him. And now He's saying, hey, let that part of your heart rest for a little bit. That's been settled. That's covered under the blood. You are covered under the blood, but there's some things I want to deal with you in your heart that you're not letting me go there. And there's a hard part of your heart that you're not opening yourself up to God. We say, oh no, I gave all myself to God. Really? You did? Then why is there still fear and doubt in this area? You know the area I'm talking about. Holy Spirit's talking to you about it right now. Every part of my heart I've given to God. Have you? Or is there a little hard part? That the hardness of life is just what you think, well, that's just made me tough. That's just made me tough, and God knows that, and I love Jesus, and I'm a follower. No, God wants to have you sow seeds of righteousness in that fallow part of your heart where nothing is growing that you think can't be touched anymore because it's just too hard. You might even be telling yourself, yeah, but I've tried that, and see, the seed just lays on top, or the plant starts growing, but heat comes and scorches it and it dies. That's why he's saying you have to break it up. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's not easy. You're looking at someone who's lived through some stuff that has had his heart hardened. You know how easy it would be for me sometimes to just blow everybody off? Done with you all. Because the hardness of my heart, God's saying, that's not okay. You need to break that up. I'm going to soften your heart so that you can love people and care for people in a way that you didn't think you could anymore because the hardness of life had changed you. But didn't we just sing how great is our God? Didn't we just talk about how amazing our God is? He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for our God. That includes the hardness of your heart. Nothing. God can start sifting through the rocky soil and get the rocks out so that it becomes good soil. But you have to begin to deal with that fallow part of your life. See, we're really good at masking it because we're really good at highlighting the part of our lives that are still producing, even though we know it's not producing the same way it used to. We're good at masking that and hiding that. And we'll settle for 30-fold because it's still producing. But did you hear? God's desire is some hundredfold, then 60, then 30. We'll even settle for less than 30 because it's still producing. And God is saying to this church, no, let that part of your life settle. It's time to deal with the hardness of your soul. Break it up. And it's work sometimes. Just like digging is a work. And I'm not trusting in my shovel. I'm not trusting in my plow. I'm trusting in the one who gave me the order to do it. Break up the fallow ground. Okay, God, but this is hard. You don't understand how hard this is. I mean, this is really hard. But by His power and by His might, we can break it up. As we begin to break up that fallow ground that has no seed in it, we're going to find something else. That while we were dealing with this other part of our heart and our soul, and God was bringing forth life, we thought this was hard, that nothing could grow in it. Guess what? There's something that can grow in it. Weeds. Thorns. I don't understand it, except for I understand that the curse that God gave Adam. But I still don't get how something could be so hard that nothing will grow in it, yet these silly things will grow in it. Doesn't make sense to me at all. Weed seed could grow anywhere. I mean, something, a substance that is hard as concrete, and a weed will find just a little bit of dirt in the crack of the concrete, and it will grow there. I don't know about you, but it drives me crazy. We try to spray a weed killer, and we scrape it out, and we dig it out, and guess what? Them stinking weeds just come back anyway. While we were focused on something else, in an area of our life that we thought was growing nothing, the enemy has sown weeds. So I want to show you something. I'm going to tell on me and my wife here. Some of you might have thought this was a tree sitting over here. I'm going to bring it front and center for you. Those of you that know plants know that this is not a tree. It's not anywhere near a tree. Nope, it's not branches I cut off a tree. Do you know what this is? These are weeds. Them are pretty big weeds. Me and my wife, we have a garden. And last year, I went into, I think the name of the company is Tawa. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can go get dirt and mulch from them over, is that right? Is that how you say it? Tawa. They have really, really good soil. They have a specific soil that you can get that's like, they say, this is great for gardens. And so my garden had been getting low over the years of just working the ground and stuff. It was kind of getting low, so I wanted to level it off a little bit better and then low spots. And so I went and got me some really good soil. And I knew that because I did it last year and we didn't put a garden in, I knew that if I didn't do something, weeds would grow up. So I covered it right away. After I got the soil in, got it all leveled out, got it all spread out, I covered it with landscaping fabric, real thick stuff, and covered it. Didn't have any weeds. Well, then the winter came. And the winds from the winter started blowing harder than they were during the summer and the fall. And some of that fabric blew up and was flapping all over the place, and I didn't want to get it all tore up. So I thought, it's winter season. Nothing grows in the winter season. So I pulled and rolled up the fabric that I had covering it, and I thought to myself, when springtime comes, I'll cover back the garden up. So I'm talking to my wife about this because springtime's rolling in, and I think, you know, we're really busy again. We're probably not going to plant anything in our garden again. We're going to leave it fallow ground again. And Elisha, in her wonderful knowledge, says, oh no, I think I'm going to put a garden in this year. Oh, you are? When? Oh, I'll get to it. I mean, ever got those get to it moments? So me trying to be a good husband, thinking my wife's going to plant a garden and I don't know where she's going to plant stuff, I don't know how she's going to do it, I just won't cover it up then because I don't want that to be in her way. So I didn't cover up our garden. And I bet you guys can guess that we didn't get a chance to plant our garden. And one day we go outside because we've been busy with life, taking care of other things. And we walk over and look in our garden and we're like, oh my goodness. It was literally like, it felt like it was overnight. It wasn't little weeds like this. No. Big, tall weeds. The whole thing full of it. Stuff like this. Growing. Now what's happened? Now we're overwhelmed. How are we going to deal with this mess? You know, we thought we were leaving fallow ground so that when the time came, we could plant in it and reap a harvest. The problem is while we were leaving it fallow, there were other seeds that got planted that we didn't plant there. And now we have to deal with that. It's called life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of life. And this got so bad that you can see, I mean, this one right here, this is a couple different types of weeds. Like this is one type and this is another type. And this one here, I mean, that's a tall weed. Listen, this is how funny this is. I went and dug this out of the garden this morning. So I could have this as an example. I put it in this old trash can that I had in my garage and I set it beside the car so I could try to figure out a way to get it in the car so I could get it here. And Lisha looks out the window and says, what's that tree doing beside our car? I said, that's not a tree. She said, what? I said, that's a weed. She goes, oh my goodness, you're going to tell on us this morning, aren't you? I said, I sure am. That's a weed. And it didn't take that long to grow. It didn't. And we've slowly been working on this. And like you're saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. There's a couple times I've had to remind myself of that, Pastor Darius, as I'm pulling weeds. I'm like, okay, one weed at a time. One weed at a time. And some of them weeds are stubborn. They want to hold on to that good soil. And I'm thinking, what's the deal? This is really good soil. How many have ever been there in your life before? This is a good place. Why is this thing happening in this good place of my life? What's going on here? God's saying, it's time to break up that fallow ground, because I do have a purpose for that in your life. I do have something I want to do in that part of your life. But if you don't first break up the hardness of it, and secondly, begin to get out what's already growing there, I can't plant seeds of righteousness there so that you can reap the steadfast love of God in that part of your life. So you got to begin to pull the weeds. Otherwise, it'll choke out what God puts in there. You can't leave it there. Really? It's so much easier if I could just sow seeds of righteousness to that part of my life and just leave all the rest go. Why can't God just send a big old bottle of Roundup and spray it all down? You want to know why? Because that begins to mess with the soil. And He knows the soil's good the way it is. I mean, it's so good it can grow weeds like that. So what God wants us to do is begin to deal with those weeds. The only way we deal with those weeds is we break up the ground. Break it up. Pull them up. Break it up. Pull them up. And unlike in life, the great thing about God is we do that work through His Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because you know what? When I'm pulling them up, there ain't nothing but my legs and my back and my hands and my arms. And I'm going, oh, help me, Jesus. Ah! But when I'm dealing with the weeds here, Holy Spirit begins to move. Break up that fallow ground. Work in those areas. And it hurts sometimes. Sometimes tears come out of nowhere as God is working and breaking up that fallow ground. The hardness of life and the things that other people planted in there. False beliefs. Because they said something, and here's the thing, most of the time they didn't even mean it the way we took it. But we took it that way, and now there's this seed in this part of our life, and we start believing something that's not even true about ourselves, and this nasty weed has grown up in it. And God begins to speak to us about it as He's breaking up that hardness, and we're going, but you don't understand, God, this is what I believe about my life. I'm unfruitful. Don't you understand? I'm unfruitful in that area. Just nastiness grows there. There's no goodness there. Nothing can be done. And He's like, that's not true. Watch this. There's something that can be done. I can remove that nastiness because I have power in heaven and on earth. And there's nothing that can stop my power. So I'll remove that nastiness. I'll remove that lie that you believe about yourself. That's not true. And guess what? Now I've made a little room. And then here's our attitude. Yeah, but look how much of a mess there still is. Yeah, but you know how you believe that, you know, no one, you don't have a purpose, no one values you, no one cares about you. That's a real stubborn one. It doesn't want to come out, but guess what? By my power, by my authority, I can remove that untruth. Because the way someone responded to you years ago, you think no one wants to hear you, no one cares what you have to say, that's not true. God is removing that as He's dealing with that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. I'm going to have to sweep that up later. And this one, it's not very big, but you know what? It's kind of in there. God just keeps working away, working away. And you're thinking, that's such a little thing. It's not very big. Can't we just leave that one? Why would we want to? When God can just pull it all out. Say, it's gone. Takes time. Takes work sometimes. It's not easy. Sometimes it hurts to let go of those things. And this whole time, what we don't realize is this big one that has been our focus, the little things that God has been doing around it, it's been loosened. And look how easy this thing that we thought was so hard to deal with, this false belief that I don't really have value in the kingdom of God. I'm just supposed to be a spectator. Now it's so easily removed because all the little lies that we thought were insignificant, God began to deal with first. And so we come and we bring Him to the feet of Jesus at the cross and we lay Him down. God says, but I'm not finished yet. There's still some residue.
Let's clean up the residue. Let's clean up those things that are left. Oh, look, there's even a little bit of a root here in this one. I want to make sure we got it all, because you know what? I have such value in this part of your heart. That is going to now grow something amazing. Because now that the fallow ground has been broken up and all the weeds and the thorns have been removed, now I can sow seeds of righteousness and they will grow and you will reap the loving kindness of your God. You see, it's not just about digging. It's about digging and pulling. We can hit water, and that water can begin to move and flow. We need water for the seed to grow, but we need good soil to plant the seed in so then we can water it. God has a progression in a work that He's doing in us here, Lighthouse. I'm just going to say this to you. Some of us have had seeds of hurts and wounds planted in parts of our hearts. And this morning, God is working on that. He's breaking up fallow ground, a part of your heart that's not been producing anything for Him. Because there's hurt there. You think there's brokenness. You think you're completely broken in that area, so nothing can work. That's a weed that's growing there that's lying to you. This morning, God's saying, no, I'm pulling that out. I'm pulling that out. Some of you might even have roots of bitterness growing there that you didn't even realize was bitterness. Roots of unforgiveness that's growing in a hardened place of your heart. You love Jesus. You really do. You serve Jesus. You follow Jesus. But there's just this area that there's something growing there that you know is not right, but you haven't even wanted to deal with it because it seems overwhelming to you. Like mine and Alicia's garden. God doesn't want to wave a magic wand and make it all go away. God wants you to come alongside of Him and begin to work with Him. How do you work with God? You begin to open that part of your heart up. And you say, okay, God, I will allow you to come and begin to deal with this so that I can have good soil. And that you can grow something in that part of my life too. That's the purpose. It hurts. I can tell you it hurts. I know it hurts. Been there, done that. Got the hat, the t-shirt, and the fanny pack. It hurts. But you know what? That hurt, when God begins to deal with it, begins to turn into healing. And because there's good soil there, now that healing turns into fruitfulness. And that fruitfulness is displayed for God's glory to others who know that hurt. That's how amazing that is. They know that hurt. They see that. They say, how are you getting that to grow in that hurt? When this is all that grows for me. And you say, let me introduce you to a man named Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't me that did it. It was Jesus that did it. He did a work in me that I could not do myself. And what used to hurt now is healthy and growing. And it's fruitful. And let me help you. As you go to God, begin to pull out those roots. And I got some seed that I can share with you that you can plant
instead of the weeds that were growing. We break up the fallow ground. If they can come back to the music this morning. I know God has already done some significant things in your heart and your life today during worship. I think those are important. And it was fruitful. And God began to move in you, and His Holy Spirit began to move in you. But I believe that that was also preparing some of you for this moment right here. Because you know what something that water does to soil, as long as it's not too much, is it begins to let it begin to be loose and more pliable and more workable. I believe that God wants to do some things in your hearts today. Even reveal some things that maybe you didn't realize was there. Some deep things in our hearts that God wants to just begin to work out of us. And I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that it's just going to happen now. It's not how God works. See, God wants relationship first and foremost. You know how He builds relationship with people? He walks through things with people. If He was a God that wasn't relational, then what He would do is just come and bam, fix it and send you on your way. But God wants to walk through each step with you so that you get to know Him better and He gets to know you better. So I think God wants to initiate something in your hearts today, in my heart today, that will send us on a path in areas of our lives that have been unfruitful. And it's not that we won't ever go back to the fruitful places, because we'll go back there and we'll till it up and plant again. And we'll see God bring 100-fold. But God's wanting to take us in a place in our hearts and lives that we haven't dealt with for a really long time. Some of you have ignored abuse, and you think, well, I'm good with that because that was years ago, and you know, I'm a goat. No, maybe there's still a little bit of residue there that God wants to deal with abuse in your life. Maybe some of that abuse was you abusing yourself, running to this and that and the other thing and trying to find something that would be pleasing to you, that would make you happy, that would find fulfillment, and until you met Jesus, you didn't find that, but you ran to all these crazy different places, and it's left residue and beliefs about yourself that are untrue. God wants to deal with them today. So if you'll stand to your feet, I feel so strongly that God really wants to do a healing work. Some of you have issues in your body because actually it's stemming from your soul. The problem you think is in your body, but it's not. This is a word from the Lord. I'm telling you right now, I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say this to me. Some of you think you have a physical issue and you've been trying to deal with that physical issue all the ways that you can. And God is revealing to you today, it's not a physical issue. It's actually something that's in the depths of your heart, your soul, that's creating a physical issue. You don't think that's true? Listen, the brain is a powerful thing. And God wants to begin to heal the root cause. That's what I'm hearing Him say. The root cause of the issue. You want to see healing in your body? Let Him deal with the brokenness of your soul. As they begin to sing and play, I'm just going to give you an invitation to come to Jesus today. And let Him begin to work in you like only He can work in you. Let Him begin to start something in you today that this rest of this week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year, you walk out with Him. You let Him heal you through this process. It's an invitation. And sowing to yourself, let me just say this, sowing to yourselves doesn't just mean to yourself by yourself, But if you have a burden on your heart for somebody this morning, go and pray with them. Because it could be that you have growth and fruit in an area that they're dealing with this morning, and you can come alongside of them because you know the hurt and you know the pain. And God wants to move in their lives. Come on. The invitation is open. Let's come and receive what God has for us this morning.